This guy played about 10 years in the NFL, made a stop here in Cleveland, also played for the Steelers, played for the Bengals, played his college ball for the Toledo Rockets. He's Bruce Gradkowski, and he joins Bull and Fox right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Bruce, good afternoon to you. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. Doing great, man. Absolutely fantastic. Now, Baker Mayfield, there's been a lot of apprehension, a lot of angst here lately as far as the fan base and what to expect with Baker. Then we got the little nugget right before kickoff on Thursday where Jay Glazer said, oh, yeah, in addition to that torn labrum, there is a fracture in that humerus bone. So have you had any kind of injury like that, throwing, non-throwing, where you kind of have an idea what Baker's going through?
Yeah, for sure. It was my junior year at Toledo. We were in the MAC championship game. I didn't take a significant hit, but it was enough that my left shoulder popped out of the socket on me. And initially, we're a no-huddle offense. We're looking at the sideline for the next play, and I look at Lance Moore, our receiver at the time, and I was like, hey, can you pop my shoulder back in? He just starts yanking my arm. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work.
He was
good at playing wide receiver, you know, played 11 years in the NFL, but not good at putting a shoulder back in the socket. And so I called timeout. They lay me down. They, boom, put the shoulder back in the socket. And, you know, it was a sense of relief when, you know, they actually do put it back in the socket, because when it's out, you get nauseous, you don't feel well. It's just odd. It's different. And now, I didn't have lingering issues that season. You know, that was the end of the year, and I didn't get it fixed in the off season. But mine was a posterior labrum tear. And if it's posterior, it doesn't slip in and out as easier if it was an anterior tear. And it also depends how bad, you know, the tear and so forth like that. In the first game of the year, the next season, it popped in and out on me again. And it was something that I dealt with. But like I said, it wasn't, I don't think, as significant as his, but it is always on your mind. It's something that's always lingering, especially if it's one that's like an anterior labrum tear where it's coming in and out of the joint in the front, not the back. Mine was out of the back, and it's hard to keep, you know, popping in and out of the back of the shoulder. And so for what he's going through now, I said it last week, I couldn't imagine him, you know, playing this past Thursday. I can't imagine him playing the next few weeks, especially finding out there's a little, you know, a bone fracture or whatever, because on top of the labrum tear, you know, it just doesn't feel strong. It doesn't feel safe. You don't feel confident in it, even though it's his non-throwing shoulder. I think it's something that's always on his mind, and he's not going to be able to play the type of football he's capable of playing.
What would you do if you were Baker Mayfield in the situation? You've got this significant shoulder injury. You know it's going to be painful the rest of the year. You know you've got to have a surgery at the end of the year on that labrum to repair that. And you wonder, I mean, like, is it worth it to play through the pain for Baker Mayfield? And is it worth it for the Browns? Because they've got a really good backup in Case Keenum, who played well on Thursday night football. If I put you in Baker's shoes, what decision do you make?
You know, it's so tough, too, because as a player, as a competitor, we don't know when to say when at times. And that's where we need the right people around us and the trainers and the doctors to rely on the medical staff to help us make the right decision. Because, you know, Baker, the competitor he is, he's not going to pull himself out of the game. It's just too hard. And I went through that at times when I was playing for the Raiders. You know, I was dealing with two torn MCLs in the same game. And they braced me up. I'm hobbling down the hallway about to go back in. And Tom Cable was like, what's wrong? And I said, I tore both my MCLs. He's like, get out of here. You're done. And that took the pressure off of me. I knew I couldn't play, but I couldn't say I couldn't play. And I think Baker's going through that. I think the best thing right now is for him to take the next, you know, 3-4 weeks and see how well maybe that scar tissue can heal down the shoulder. You do some rehab. How do you feel at that point? Do you feel strong enough now that you can push it again and see how it feels? And that's what I would imagine would happen. You take this time, see how healthy you could get, and if you can play again this year. And you mentioned, I mean, Case Keenum, he's more than viable to get the job done, especially if the Browns continue to get healthy, can run the football, play good defense. He will execute the offense. Him and Kevin Stefanski, they've been together before, so he can get it done. So if I'm in Baker Mayfield's shoes, I'm doing everything the trainer says. I try to get that shoulder healthy and as strong as I possibly can until I can get it repaired after the season, and just you play it on a week-to-week basis for now.
Former NFL quarterback Bruce Gronkowski joining us on the hotline. Bruce, you obviously you were a backup for years as well in the NFL, and there is a certain mindset that that backup has to have. Case Keenum before the Denver game said, you know, hey, I'm ready. I'm always ready. Can you talk about what that is like and what that entails, kind of the mentally speaking, for the backup quarterback each and every week?
Yeah, it's actually harder to be the backup than be the starter in a sense, you know, mentally, because every week you're preparing so hard, you're just imagining yourself, oh, I might have to go in, and you're preparing that way, and then weeks go by that you don't play, and it's just an up and down game that you always have to be mentally ready to go. And now Case Keenum can prepare, hey, I'm the starter. I know I am playing in this game. Now I get reps during practice, and now he could get into a flow and a rhythm with the rest of the offense. But look, he's a veteran. He's been around, and especially his relationship with Kevin Stefanski and Stefanski's offense, I just think he does a really good job at play calling. You know, last Thursday night, you see the running game. You see some screens. You see the bootleg. And this is just to start off the game. I thought he did a really good job of trying to get Case Keenum in a rhythm, and it helped that team. And D'Ernest Johnson, I mean, you give him a ton of credit, man. The way he played the other night, getting an opportunity. And honestly, that's what the Browns needed. They needed a spark from guys that, you know, were given their first opportunity in a while, if not their first opportunity ever. And it was cool to see the Browns come away with a big win.
Bruce, let's talk about this division and in the matchup we saw yesterday with the Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. And start with Cincy specifically, because they look really good right now. Burrow, well, I'm curious your take on Burrow, because the guy looks like an all-pro already.
Yeah, no, I went to, I did a Bengals training camp this year with Solomon Wilcox, for SiriusXM NFL Radio, and just talking to Burrow, he just has this aura about him and this confidence and this swag, and, you know, it resonates through the locker room. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of his. And I remember after that thinking, man, like, I don't know. I like what the Bengals did this offseason with, you know, the defensive acquisitions. I like their draft. But I don't know if they're quite there yet. But, man, Joe Burrow makes me believe that they are, that they're close. And, man, so I'm not surprised of how this has unfolded so far, just because of Joe Burrow, the person, the mindset, the mentality, and what he brings into that locker room. I think that's what separates him. And, of course, on the field, how he's playing, he's doing a really good job. I mean, but you have to give the credit to the guys around him. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, the you know, a few of the passes he caught, and he takes it to, you know, for a touchdown and breaking tackles and just being a beast out there on the field, hey, that helps the QB out. So I think the Bengals are playing with a lot of confidence right now, offensively and defensively. And honestly, it's impressive to watch, especially coming away with a huge win against the Ravens on the road. I mean, I thought that was a big testing point. You know, last week when they played Detroit, I thought, you know, if the Bengals are for real, they're going to handle Detroit no problem. They did. Now I'm thinking, okay, now this is a statement game if the Bengals can win this one, and they did. So you got to believe this team is for real right now.
Bruce, we always say, and everybody knows, yeah, divisional games are very important. But when we're talking about a division like the AFC North, as you just talked about the Bengals, we know about the Ravens. Hell, the Steelers, even at the bottom, are still 500. The Browns have all six of these division games left, but I don't think there's any question about it. These are vitally important now, not just important, vitally important as far as the Browns and playoff aspirations and whatnot.
No, absolutely. And that's, you know, you look around, the division there. And if you're the Steelers and you're the Browns, I mean, you're encouraged because you haven't played all your division games yet, so you still have a realistic shot at this. But, you know, the Bengals are playing at a high level. You know, and then when you look outside the division and the games you play that are possible winnable games, just like the Browns pulled away from the Broncos the other night, they needed that win because as this season goes on, you don't know how that division is going to unfold. You don't know how you're going to be able to slip into the playoffs, but you have to find a way. So when you get an opportunity to face a team that, you know, on paper it looks like a winnable game, you have to take advantage of that. You can't have a letdown because the division games are going to be tough enough.
Bruce, I think we always ask you about Big Ben and how much longer he can play every time we have you on. But what have you seen out of him this season? He started out the season, you know, not that great, but it seems like he's getting a little bit healthier now as we go.
Yeah, I think it's always tough, you know, because quarterbacks, you know, we probably get more credit than we deserve, but we also get more blame than we deserve as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, you talk about Joe Burrow. I mean, Burrow's doing a phenomenal job. But it's not just Burrow. You know, his team's playing well. You know, they're doing a good job offensively, defensively. And I think, though, too, with Ben and his career and how good he has been for a long time, you know, now that they kind of sputter a little bit and the offense looks sloppy and they can't generate explosive plays, now the magnifying glass is on them. And I think they've done a better job the last few weeks. They're still not where they want to be, but it's little issues here and there. It's maybe a route that's not run clean and right. It's a missed throw by Ben. It's a missed protection by the O-line. And when those compile, that's where you have an offense that's not being able to move the football. So for the Steelers, they can get it done. They're capable of it. They just need to get it all together and get on the same page, get in a little rhythm. I felt like they've been able to do that at times the last few weeks. But they're going to need to do it better and more often once they get into these tough games later on in the season.
So, Bruce, before I let you go, a little fun fact here. I did not realize that you are the owner of the Social Gastro Pub in Perrysburg. I have family there, and they have taken me many times to Swig, and I know they've been to your gastro pub. They never seem to take me over to that one, so I need to make that a visit around the Christmas holidays. Do I get a special bar stool or anything like that?
Absolutely, bro. You just let me know. Get the Baja Fish Tacos. They're one of my favorites. The salmon tacos, and the burgers are good. We got some great entrees. Build your own mac and cheese. I mean, it's a good spot. You got to give your parents a hard time. They better be going to Social now. Not just Swig. There's enough to go around.
And I'm gonna have to. They're gonna have to change their gear from, you know, Bowling Green gear to Rockets gear. So I'll make sure that they do it right, man.
Hey, we don't discriminate over there.
Fans, Bowling Green fans got money too.
Yeah. That cash is. Hey, Bruce. Good stuff, buddy.
Man.
Good talking to you. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right. That is Bruce Gradkowski.